Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Racer's Mindset. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and with me on every single one of these episodes, this being episode 14 of Racer's Mindset. He's now been on the Big MX Radio podcast nearly 20 times. Originally from Australia, now from Southern California, Andrew Hobson. Hoppa, how's it going?
Good, Brad. How are you? It's definitely been a milestone when we look back over the past few months of doing this podcast, which I really enjoy. So thank you to you, and looking to bring more value to all these listeners that we can.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, when you first mentioned doing a podcast of this genre, I wouldn't say I was skeptical, but it is a little bit of a departure from what I was typically doing with the Big MX Radio podcast, doing some racer interviews, race reviews, as well as some amateur stuff. So this was a bit of a step outside of what we typically do, but I'll be honest, this offshoot of Big MX Radio, yeah. this series of podcasts, I've probably gotten more, good feedback, positive feedback from this, than a lot of the other things that I've done in the past. So we are making an impact. Like I said, this being episode 14, and we've had a ton of great guests. I've learned a lot. I know you've learned a lot. And we've been able to uncover some really interesting stories from some incredible people. So this episode, we're going to kind of go over a few of the people that we, had on the podcast, maybe do a little bit of an update of how they're doing as far as what we know and how much we've been in conversation with them. But yeah, this has been an awesome ride, man. I'm glad to share it with you. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, considering we've got some stuff, sort of on the horizon, that is going to come to fruition.
For sure. I mean, like we all love motor. That's all our background. And, you know, I just didn't want to get too one dimensional there with just motor, where a lot of these topics we talk about all cross over into life and motor as well. So just trying to bring more information to the average racer or the good racer or whatever it is, just information, they're guys and people that I look up to or like to talk to, where we can spend an hour to talk to these people and just pick their brains on what makes them work, how they did it. Because I think everyone is always in the same boat, looking to be better. So that's why I enjoy doing this.
Certainly. And with the 13 different people that we've had on the podcast, of different guests, through that, I actually get a lot of, sort of feedback myself, getting to tap into the knowledge of these incredibly interesting people, knowledgeable people, guys like Tyler Kalesiak, who has been nutritionist for a long time. Alvin Baker, who is, for lack of better terms, maybe the preeminent trainer within the motocross industry. He's basically the gold standard and has been for a long period of time. Sage Voda, who he himself absolutely lives and breathes the consistency and all of the dedication it takes to uncover the next steps in the chase of success and just goal setting and getting to that next stage of life, whatever it happens to be. He sort of lives and breathes it. We're going to go through each one of these individuals one by one. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Zune. He was our first guy. I met him through a mastermind, super, super cool guy. I mean, he ran across America for, Meals for Kids, Miles for America. I can't remember the exact, but I mean, this guy ran over 3,000 miles, still running a business, paid for everything himself. I mean, that just goes to show that, what sort of person he is. You know, he's just a good guy and raised money for charity and definitely made the record books of, running across America from one end to the other. And he, at the end there, he was running, you know, 30 miles a day back to back for like 10 days. This goes to show you what the human body is really capable of when you put it into that mindset, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing to see how he was able to essentially make running 30 miles just part of his day. Like, he was still doing the work necessary to run his business on top of being completely dedicated and plugged in And like he trashed more than a few pairs of shoes. His feet were sore in the whole nine yards. It was amazing to see him like kind of come to the finish line and get all the way through. He ended up running through New York, correct?
Correct. Finished in New York. And then he had a couple of people run with him along the way and help him out. I was trying to link up with her at one stage, but it just wasn't feasible for me at the time. Because originally he did it like 4 weeks quicker than he thought. He would never thought that he could run 30 miles a day.
Like, a month early.
Pretty much, yeah. He wasn't supposed to finish to around September, you know, but he nailed it out and worked out he could do 30 miles a day. And he was running at night because it was too hot through the day. So, I mean, he pulled all the stops out to make that happen, you know.
Kidding, yeah. Just flip the old internal clock and run during the middle of the night. That's how you're going to get it done. We're looking to actually connect with him in the next couple of weeks here to bring him back on and sort of talk about some of the just the trials and tribulations of running across America, as well as just that mental terrain that he had to navigate as well. Because, pulling yourself out of bed every single day, do exactly what he did, not easy.
And he was the first one to tell you he hates running, but he ran across America. So that's kind of a very diverse type of person to be able to do that. He hated it, but he did it.
Let's just dive straight into the one of our next guests that we had on the show, Matt Zemitra, who was a great guest to have on. He was very forthcoming in all of the like sort of stories that he shared and his passion for motorsports that kind of took him all over the at least North America, both racing and working. He now works for First Form Supplements, which I actually got a care package today. And those guys hooked me up with some protein and some electrolyte like hydration packs to mix into my water so that my workouts go by a little bit easier for me. What can be said about a guy like Matt? He is just so passionate and brings so much energy. It's pretty infectious.
For sure. I mean, he is very passionate. I mean, obviously, I met him through you on this podcast and we become good friends after that. You know, even in his social media, the way he portrays racing a motorcycle and his goals and his everyday fitness and life, I mean, he's not afraid to expose himself and he's open to anyone to ask him questions. You know, obviously he loves his job and he loves his moto, which we all do. And he's in a position at First Form where he can help other people and, you know, just be an all-around good guy. And I think that you can see that in him, that he's just a good, solid guy around, and I'm sure that First Form love to have him there as well.
Yeah, certainly. I think that he's obviously someone who he's completely genuine about how he approaches social media. My hat's off to him in that respect, because there's a lot of people out there who don't kind of like they put up a sort of like a highlight reel of what their life is, and
right.
Matt shows you the like how the sausage is made and the finished product. He's not afraid to fail. He's not afraid to put himself out there. I think that's what makes him really relatable. And for those who aren't already following M Zemitra 14 on Instagram, you need to do exactly that. I mentioned about over the top of the show, Tyler Kolesiak is somebody that I've known for well over 10 years now. He's been like basically at the controls of nutrition for top athletes for well over a decade, including the Star Racing Yamaha team. He now runs the Guiltless Food Co. Meal plans. It was a really cool time to have Tyler on.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually gotten to know Tyler really well the last few months. We've actually been cycling together of a morning, and to get him to know on a very personal level, as well as a cycling level. I mean, he's just a great guy, great family guy, and he runs a good business and passionate about food and growing his business and healthy food awareness from all the events that he attends to, the food that he produces. It's all from his heart. So, again, he's just a very passionate guy. I did not know who he was until a while ago because I had left the US and gone back to Australia for a while, and that's when he kind of popped up and surfaced. So there was a lot of history there that I had no idea about when we spoke on the podcast. And then since then, you know, we cycle together sometimes in the morning. So again, you know, you got all these guys with so much knowledge and that they can give back to people and help, which is, it's just so good. I mean, I just love it. But he's definitely a genuine guy. He loves moto, although he doesn't really ride too much anymore, but still an avid cyclist. And he's, you know, he's got, he delivers meals to KTM. Like, he's still involved in the industry. So it's always good to see that, that they're giving back.
Speaking of KTM, you still very much work there. And if anyone really grenades an engine, it's probably going to get your fingerprints on it at some point.
Possible.
What, like, it's a, one of the coolest things I found about visiting, back in, was that March of this year?
March, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Early March, was, the fact that you guys go for road rides together. Like your coworkers aid in your physical activity and you guys all engage yourselves together. Like, one guy, I think his desk had more, cycling gear in it than it had anything to do with KTM stuff. How cool is that to sort of be working for a place that, cultivates that sort of, that just is that environment?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of that comes from, you know, like, I don't know how many people have known, but like Roger DaCosta turned 80 on the weekend. Roger rode 80 miles on a bicycle. There was a special event for him. So, I mean, it's in the, you know, there's a lot of guys there that cycle. You know, John Hines, they have an event where they ride across America. So they do a state each for 1 week a year. So it all comes from the top. You know, Hines is out there cycling as well, and it helps that we own a couple of bicycle companies that they're around. But, you know, I was kind of the instigator there for a while just to get everyone out and move. I mean, instead of just sitting at the table, let's go for a cycle. So, yes, we do have the option to ride road or dirt at times. But yeah, you know, it's always good to have that environment, and they're pretty flexible on it that, you know, people are out there enjoying and not just wasting away at work, that there is some involvement, some exercise involved in a workplace that makes it better. So.
I love it, man. And so for yourself, like, who out of the people that we've had on the show so far do you feel like you got the most out of? One thing that the guy comes to mind for myself is Alvin Baker. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's, like I said, when we did that podcast, I hadn't spoken to him in years. I mean, as, you know, as I remember from the podcast, I was at American Honda at the time. He was there with Ricky, and we were both on two different sides of the coin totally, but we did gel. Again, he's another guy that was just so easy and to talk to and give information back. Nothing was off limits. Very humble guy, didn't really want to take too much credit for anything, but at the end of the day, he's a very, very knowledgeable guy, and it's hard to see that in guys that are very quiet at times, what they're like behind closed doors, to get the best out of all these guys. So it was an awesome to sit down with him. I mean, there was never a bad guest, and I think you're kind of splitting hairs to try and pull out who was the best. I don't think there was any best. I just think they all had different pieces of information that we all compiled to make it a good show or make someone better somewhere along the line.
Certainly. And then you have guys like Tony Pasha, who came on the podcast. Not only as someone who has brought some really, really interesting, motorcycles to Southern California, he brought the Fantic in, if not one, but two. He's been active with the Motocross Action guys for well over a decade. And then also, like, the guy pulls double duty. He happens to also work in the film industry. And of course he was he not the writer for, Bennett's War?
Yeah, I think he was there, and I think he has a construction company as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I first met him, I didn't quite know who he was or how to take him, because then there was a gap when I was gone and then came back. But again, like, that guy there gives his heart and soul, cash, you know, the Pasha 125 race or the pro race. I mean, I've seen the briefcase. I mean, that's cold hard cash that he injects into that race series. And then, so for me to see that, you know, that is so awesome, because we wouldn't have that type of race or caliber of race, you know, and he's just so passionate about it. And that's why I wanted to bring him on. I mean, he's done it for years. He's helped so many guys. He's just a good all-around guy. And, you know, he's a funny guy. He's a hard guy to race, but like I said, at the end of the day, he gives his own money, time, and effort for an industry that sometimes I feel he doesn't get enough credit for. So,
yeah, I think that there's a certain segment, especially the online community, that sort of for good reason in certain respects when it comes to besmirching the good name of Motocross Action. Motocross Action wasn't the first publication to really embrace social media. They're doing an amazing job now compared to what they were doing, say, 5 years ago, when their mastery of social media was basically non-existent. Guys like Josh Mosman and Trevor Nelson have like breathed all kinds of life into that. And I think if any sort of misunderstanding or sort of ill feelings that got sort of created through that is just obviously Pasha has had such an impact and has been so connected with Motocross Action. The younger community probably just not really recognizing what he's been responsible for and sort of just lumping him in with MXA, which I think they'd even admit, like when social media first grabbed hold, they were skeptical and didn't sort of like really embrace it the way they might have probably should have otherwise. But yeah, they've changed their tune since.
We're all in a digital world now, right?
Yeah, so, no.
And everyone's had to just go with it.
To go with it sometimes. What about Joe Moffitt? Joe Moffitt is a life coach. And for those who are still looking for somebody to assist them, he's currently taking on more clients by the day. But he had a lot of really interesting things to say.
Oh, Joe's an awesome guy. I mean, again, you know, you talk about what we do here and I owe a lot to that guy because, you know, I'll admit it. There were some times when I was lost and stuck, didn't know where to go. And someone pointed me in the direction of a life coach and I got connected with Joe and his wife is a coach as well. You know, he'd done 10,000 hours with Tony Robbins. I mean, he really knew stuff that was, you know, that really helped me out of some tight dart spots that, again, you know, I just wanted to give back to guys like that and hopefully someone could reach out and talk to him and do some work with him as a repayment for helping me, because he's really a solid guy, down to earth. And again, he's just looking to make everyone better and more education, and whether it's, you know, investing in the future or just trying to get out of a hole or be a better person. I mean, he's the guy, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I pulled a lot of great things from some of the things that he said about goal setting and setting yourself up for success continuously. He had a ton of great things to say. Not totally unlike, life often reflects motocross and sometimes that comes in the form of off-road racing. Cameron Przinski is someone we had on the podcast who I'd never met before. He's a friend of yours. He's raced in the work series for a long period of time. He is the Hillbilly Speed Factory. And when we listen to that episode, we get a lot of nuggets about not only how to conquer challenges on the track, but how to do so in just regular life as well.
Yeah, again, I mean, he was like a friend of a friend and popped up on my radar, and I liked the content that he put out and the information. And again, I'm all about trying to give some eyes and spotlight to people that are trying to grow a business, which he is. Again, he's a very smart man. He had some injuries and setbacks, and then, you know, that presented to the path that he's on now. Again, he had some really, really good nuggets. He helped me there with some arm pump issues. So yeah, he was, again, you know, he was just a great guy, more of an off-road guy. I think he said he helps Josh Moseman a little bit. So again, these are kind of all just unsung heroes to an extent that you're just trying to shed a little bit of light on and get some good information out of him. I mean, he was a top guy.
Speaking of good information, I think the stories that we got out of Victor Sheldon were pretty legendary. Like, I don't know if the structure of that particular episode was adhered to by either one of us whatsoever. But by hook or by crook, we got some good stories out of Victor.
Oh, I mean, I had no idea he was from Alaska, and how does a boy from Alaska end up being a world champion on a jet ski? I don't know.
Great question. But we should ask him.
We did not ask that question, but, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, he was, you know, again, he was just that, he was in that era of Southern California where there was just no wrong, right?
Yeah.
You're either a motorcycle, you're a jet ski, you're a surfer or a bicyclist. I mean, he just,
or all of those.
No, those, there was just that group of guys that were just the SoCal Golden Boys. And again, he's a, just another guy that just gives back. If you ever get a chance to do one of his bicycle races, he's out there, he's waving, he's screaming, high fiving, and he'll talk to anyone. He's always got a smile on his face. Like I always say, it's just trying to give back to those guys because they have given me so much in terms of, you know, doing his races and just so personable. And I want to see his sport grow and I want to see him do good. So again, he had some awesome stories and probably could probably go back and touch on some of them at another date to angle them differently. So you can get him to tell a different story or a different version. Some were sensitive.
Ask him the same thing and see if he tells it different. Then we'll know if he's a liar.
Yeah, true, true. But no, great guy. Again, gives his heart and soul to, you know, the bicycle race industry. He's a good cyclist himself. He just did Leadville. So yeah, again, you know, the little summer series that he runs, 8 races in 9 weeks, that's a lot of work and, you know, permits and everything that, and he does a good job. So again, kudos to all these guys.
You doing Leadville next year?
I'm going to try and qualify for it. I will see. There's a lottery system in December and then there's a qualifier at somewhere in April. Okay. Seattle Classic. So I don't know. We'll see.
All right. We'll see. Fair enough. I would love to see it. And yeah, if you're going to race that thing, I would want to be part of your support system at the race.
True. We'll see.
And two of the guys that you could possibly turn to get yourself ready for it. And I think these are two guys that you work with pretty exclusively. Charles Dow of Icon Fit Studio and Rob Beams. Those were the last two episodes of Racer's Mindset that we put out. And honestly, I was equally proud of both of these. I didn't know either one of those guys personally. Obviously, I'd heard of both of them beforehand. But the conversation went off without a hitch. Great stories, great vibe, and both ended up going longer than they would have originally put aside. So, you know, it's a good sign when they're carving out more time than they originally were supposed to give to you. Charles and Rob, tell me about them.
Well, again, you know, when you talk of it, I'll go all the way back to Joe, you know, on making changes in your lifestyle and knowing you have to be better. And I just went to Rob because I wanted to ride a motorcycle faster.
Fair.
That was it. I just wanted to learn how to ride a little faster and just get a little fitter and do some stuff. But anyway, 3 years later, you know, he's given me all the tools to where I am to now, to where I'm in the best shape of my life. So we had some really, really good conversations.
32 pants, by the way.
32s. I could go to 30s if I wanted, but
you probably, if I can wear 30s, if I can wear 32s, I think you can wear 30s.
Yeah. I think your Canadian sizes might be a little different. There's something not quite matched there. But again, Rob, you know, he has a wealth of knowledge, same as Charles. I mean, you know, same but different, if that makes sense. I mean, Rob was from a different era. I mean, he had a little more, you know, he was in the US, you know, he was a BMX racer. Charles' story, he's a little different, helped his sister, but still right. Very, very well knowledgeable guys on all aspects of, you know, physiology and diet and strength and how to train. And, you know, Charles is very, let's keep it free. Let's keep it momentum and, you know, let's not burn out. And so is Rob. Rob's very big on rest. Very big on structure and, you know, counting. If you can't measure it, you can't control it type of thing. So,
totally.
You know, I learned a lot from both those guys. And like I seen Charles today, we were at the gym, you know, he's just always welcoming to anyone that walks into his gym. So, I mean, they're great, all great guys and with a wealth of knowledge that they'll give to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, that is like one of the things that I think gets mentioned when people talk about a training regimen, but I don't think it really gets prioritized, which it really should. It's like, okay, like this is what I'm going to eat. This is how I'm going to fuel myself. And this is the work that I'm going to put in to get my results. I don't think a lot of people sit down and be like, this is when I need, like, these are the days that I need to, like, chill. I'm going to have to dial it back this day so that I can push myself for this. Or I'm going to maybe have to start working in some naps every once in a while. And then people are going to roll their eyes. Oh, naps. Okay. No, I'm serious. Like if you're taking your athleticism at a really high level, napping and finding ways to keep your body rested and recovering throughout that process is a very vital thing, especially when it comes to also going to bed at a decent time, something that I personally deal with, struggle with probably more than anything, just because I have such a busy day throughout that when it comes time to 9-10 o'clock at night, I'm very guilty of like wanting like, I've been doing stuff all day. Now it's my time. And I'll like kind of like decompress and like watch some YouTube or do this or do that. And I end up staying up later than I probably should, or I know not, never mind, probably should. I definitely stay up later than I should. And then I put myself behind the eight ball. I guess I share that because just basically prove that we're not perfect either. Everyone's got their demons. Everyone's got their stuff that they're working on. But in general, I think that rest is something that not nearly enough people really truly understand or prioritize well enough, throughout their sort of their workout regimens and how they want to set that up.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, the way that he structures stuff, because when I first went to him, I mean, I didn't know how to train, and I trained like a bonehead. You know, it was always this hard, fast, and the next minute you burn out and you can't work out why you're not going anywhere. So, you know, if there was anything that he taught me was rest was so important, and then so is incremental gains, right?
Yeah.
We push hard, we pull back. We push hard, we pull back. And then, you know, and Charles is the same thing. It's like, we're going to do this, then we're going to do that. We're going to, you know, switch back and forth. Let's play hoops today, or, you know, let's do this. So, you know, Rob was very, you know, very detailed in the workouts. Everything was, yeah, to a T. So, again, I learned so much from him and to where I am today, to where now I can teach it back, you know. So, Another great episode. I'd love to do another one with all these guys to an extent on different angles, whatever we can find.
Yeah, no, I think if this is the first episode of Racer's Mindset that you're listening to, first of all, shame on you. Secondly, all of these episodes are archived, so you can go back into Big MX Radio and watch them all.
Bless you.
I might edit that part out. I probably won't. But also on this podcast, and I appreciate you making time for this. I appreciate every one of our guests for coming on and giving us their time. It's been a lot of fun so far.
It surely has. I mean, I look forward to it. Again, I think it's the connection with all these people. And as, like you said, we don't know it all. We're not all perfect. And just trying to learn and ask better questions and have better answers to hopefully help someone be better. I mean, that's really the whole thing behind it. So, I like to, you know, I like looking for guests that are going to be interesting that can bring some value. So, we'll just keep working at that and see where the next, 12, 13, 14, 15, 20 end up.
Certainly. So with that, I'll pose this to the listening audience. What would you guys like to hear more of on Racer's Mindset? What type of guests would you like to see? What type of topics would you like to have more information on? That is a hugely powerful tool for us to be able to bring you guys the information that you're hungry for. So you can email me, bradgebhart88@gmail.com. And then, Hoppo, you want to throw your email out there as well?
Yeah, just hoppo02@gmail.com. That'll come straight to me, or Instagram, hoppo, and just send me a direct message and, you know, we can go from there. But I'd love to, yeah. I mean, I have some ideas for some other, people, whether we start to go down the road of investing, or is it kind of relationship sort of stuff that people want to know about? You know, I'm open to anything and I can search, and we already know where some of these people are. So yeah, I'm open to anything to bring the listeners value on what they're looking for.
Certainly. So I guess before we talk about some Super Motocross World Championship playoffs, which is the second half of this podcast, I want to know, why do they call you Hoppo?
Well, my last name's Hobson, right? So I've had that nickname since I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And when I first started working for Peyton in 94, he didn't even know my name. He did not know what my name was. I was just known as Hopper. And
amazing.
That's it. That's all I'm ever known as. And that's what it is. So that's how I roll.
There you go. Well, the SMX playoff rolls into Charlotte this weekend, and I'm excited about it. This is going to be an absolutely unbelievable championship playoff series. The tracks are different. You have both coasts of Supercross coming together, much like you do for the Nationals. It's basically, for lack of better terms, a blank slate as far as the seeding goes, obviously. The total points, they do seed into this. And I guess we can start things off by sort of explaining that. So in the 250s, as well as in the 450s, whoever was first in total points, which in the 250s case is Hayden Deegan, followed by Levi Kitchen, Tom Vial, Joe Shimoda, and Chance Hymus, they're going to be seeded in as if there's already one round, sort of, they're awarded 25 points to Hayden. That's, of course, 25 points is how many points you get for a race win in this championship. Second place seeding starts with 22 points, which is second place for a single race. And it kind of goes down the leaderboard back to 20th. Everyone outside of 20th, I think they're going for two spots in the LCQ.
I think so. Yes.
It'd have to be. Right. If they have the top 20 set, they're only taking 22 into the main event. That means there's only two spots. As of right now, as far as the 250 class goes, and we're going to get into this, but as far as the LCQ, guys who are sort of on the bubble, were the closest to getting in. And how many did he miss by? Dylan Schwartz missed by, that was like 18 points. He wasn't super, super close, given the fact he had no Supercross points. That probably would have helped him I think he was injured over Supercross though. But guys who will be in the LCQ, guys like Cameron McAdoo, who will be coming out for Super Motocross, Jet Reynolds, who, I believe will be racing, Super Motocross, the Super Motocross playoffs. He could easily make it into out of an LCQ. Same thing with Seth Hamaker. Is Hamaker coming out?
I don't think he is. I don't think he's gonna. You won't see him at a race this year, I believe.
Hmm. So. Fair enough. Well, then you also have Mumford. I don't know that yep. Cole. I assume Cole Thompson would be racing for the. I think he's with the Heartbeat Hot Sauce Solitaire Yamaha team. But yeah, there's still going to be some heavy hitters in the LCQ for the 250s. Let's just stick with 250s before we sort of move over to the 450s. Hayden Deegan comes in with a 3-point lead. He's got all the momentum. He seems to sort of win whenever he needs to win. Obviously, there's been some nationals where he wasn't the absolute best guy. But there wasn't more than a couple of races throughout the summer, and Supercross for that matter. He didn't win the Supercross championship, became damn close to Tom Vial. He's got to be your odds-on favorite. Hayden Deegan comes in with a 3-point lead, and he's the fastest 250 rider in North America right now.
Oh, for sure. And he is a defending champ.
Yes.
Which, so he has...
He'll be wearing the number one, correct?
I would assume. I believe so, unless he rolls in with a red plate or a blue plate. I'm not too sure.
It would be like the purple thing. They do the purple plate, or I guess the 250s do a yellow plate with purple numbers. I am on record. I do not like either one of those colors at all.
Then we go back to the Camel Supercross with the blue and the yellow.
The blue and the yellow is royal blue, or maybe just a tad darker than royal blue, and like sort of like a, it wasn't even like a canary yellow. It was just like, it was a solid, nice, like I think Suzuki used to call it victory yellow or something along those lines. Beautiful colors, lime green and purple. It's not my championship. So I don't get to pick, but purple and lime green, not my favorite. I understand it's probably something to do with Monster, the green, I guess. I don't know. And maybe that's just me being old and like kind of yelling at clouds. But could be, I don't know. What do you think? Like, do you like the yellow plate or the purple plate with yellow numbers?
I'm open. I think that it's don't different. Care. No, I don't really care. I mean, I do like the fact that I would actually like to see, I would probably get complicated, but the top three have their own colors.
Ooh.
So go first, second, third. They're your three front runners. That's, I would like to see that, but then that would get real hard to explain to someone. Why is this guy, well, these have black and white numbers and these three have these numbers. Well, that one there's the winner. That one there's second. He's, I don't know.
But what cool. about, I know they have those, the leader lights, which don't like either. But I've come to understand that they are very handy for those who are actually in the stadium, to be able to find the leader.
Right.
Leader lights. And then, like, is it possible to have a different color? Say if it was like green for leader lights and red for either the person who's in second or the person who's in second in points.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's all thought, right?
Because if I'm watching, if I'm in the stadium, I'm not listening to Dan Hubbard on the loudspeaker. I want to know, not only do I want to know who's leading, but I want to know who, like where second place is, or I want to know where, the second place in points would be. I think that'd be kind of an interesting wrinkle.
Okay. Okay.
But,
I seen a post from, Pit Beyer saying that he thinks the series is way too long now and he wanted it cut back. So I'm curious to see what happens there because it is quite a long series.
It is.
Now you've added these three.
It is. I don't think that, I don't think anyone's going to argue that. I think we start in January. We have no more than maybe a couple weeks off in any one place. And we're September and we're still going hard at it and we'll be for another 3 weeks minimum. And then, in the hearts of many, then you have the biggest race of the year in more across the nation.
Right.
Like,
and yeah, how do those guys rest and recover? I mean, they're down to 8 and 10 weeks of physically.
Yeah. Like they're back into the boot camp. Like boot camp starts November 1st.
Well, it used to be October 1st. Was the day, but now it's kind of changed a little. So, you know, anyone like, you know, Honda with a new bike, there's a lot of work there. Sexton this year with a new team, you know, you don't have the time that you used to have to get ready these days.
Yeah. And then these guys are going to have to start supercross testing in October so that they have enough parts. So they're going to spend at least two of the weeks of their sort of quote unquote off season, testing and riding for next year's stuff. And then, about 6 weeks later, they're going to be in front of Simon Cubby's photo or camera taking the poster shots.
All right. So all brand new. Have,
yeah.
Everyone with new numbers.
That's right.
To an extent.
Typically. Yeah. Except for you, a few guys that run, their permanent numbers now. Sure. But yeah, let's sticking with the 250s for just a few minutes here. Hayden Deegan's your number one. Who's his closest competitor? Like who do you think can, if anyone can knock him off, who is it going to be?
Oh, I'd like to say Kitchen's going to be right there. I mean, Vial, last couple races kind of showed some flashes of brilliance. I don't know. I think it's still going to come down to your top four or five. I mean, Hymus can pull one out. I mean, Shimoda, Shimoda won't, is he going to be ready with his collarbone? I'm not too sure. I think it's still going to come down to the top three to five guys. I mean, it's only three races. Anything can happen.
Yeah. And like the last race, do you remember last year when they were doing the last race and like they're like, Hunter was out, and then I think he was Hayden that went down, like for like a couple of laps, Jordan Smith was your super motocross champion because of the
that's right,
because yeah. of the triple points thing. Like, no one's really out of this thing until the fat lady sings.
No,
obviously, like I think, the fact there's no whoops, that's got to favor a guy like Tom Vial. Although now that they have the 9 whoop thing, or I guess now they're moving that to 11 or 10. Either way, that's like the whoops were basically like this last year in Supercross were basically nullified. And I think that had a lot to do with, or one of the reasons why Tom was able to nab that championship. Longer whoop sections, like, you can say what you want, but I think that would have definitely made things more difficult on him. But what are your thoughts on a guy like Joe Shimoda? Like, he had taken some time off. He had a collarbone, did he not?
I think he broke his collarbone, right?
But is he back for, as far as I know, he's back for, the playoffs.
Okay. I mean, I know he had it plated, so I haven't seen if he's back on a bike yet, but I'm sure he's pushing to be back on. But, you know, and then you still have Deegan that's going to, after the last race, he's got to have surgery, right? He's having screws pulled out of his hand.
Yeah.
So there's going to, you know, he's going to be, or he'll be an East Coast guy anyway, I would say, but, you know, there's a lot of surgeries going on at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to think that of him as an East Coast guy, because that's where they train, that's where they ride. Mm-hmm. Born and raised on the West Coast, it's actually kind of surprising to see that, like, throughout his 250 career, he might never race a West Coast
A1.
Like A1, yeah. The first time I've seen him on A1 is on a 450.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how invasive the surgery is. It's just, I think, some screws and pins removed from, as far as I know. But still, it's going to be, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks of no real hard use. So, I don't know. It'd be cool to see him on the West. I mean, most guys like to try and win a championship on both coasts, right? That's kind of like, that shows that you're pretty good on both sides.
Yeah. James did it. James got the West and the East. I think, yes. He didn't run number one in 04. So we must have raced the other coast. Carmichael, as far as I know, yeah, he only raced 2 years of 250 super or 125 supercross, yep. 97 and 98, 99. He goes straight to the 250 class. And I think even he's admitted that in the moment, that wasn't the best move as far as like the progression of his career. Like, he was physically, I don't think he wasn't ready. And no. Speed-wise, I don't think there's ever a question. Hell, he raced a 250 in his last year at Loretta's, which is ridiculous.
Right.
And yeah, like, but I think that, like, in hindsight, that wasn't the best move for Carmichael at the time. But yeah, racing the opposite coast or racing the two coasts, I don't see, like, in a scenario where, like, could Hayden race 2 more years of 250 Supercross? Can you see that happening?
No. I don't. I think next year would be his last.
Which is crazy, because it's not crazy, but, like, he literally just got, it feels like he just turned pro. Like, images of him, his bike flipping and, like, the radiator exploding at Ironman feels like 2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah. Depending
we're
on
a
that.
Year away from his 450 debut.
Well, I mean that comes down to what contracts Star have written, right? Because you got to make room. You got to forecast that.
Yeah, I think by the time he's on a 450, he wants to do his own deal, though.
Oh, okay. Because he had 100 point. He would have made 100 points last year. He won this year, so he can defend the championship. So if he wins that championship next year, I think he's out automatically anyway.
No, I think the only way...
you get three years in a row, 100 points, or you get to defend your championship.
Fair enough. Okay. I thought it was your championship, and then you get to defend regardless of what happened.
Right. But if you pointed out on your third year, if you had 3 years consecutively of 100 points...
No, that's gone now.
It's gone.
That's gone now. Now it's literally the only thing that matters is the championship. You can get tons of points and not win a championship for 100 years, and they won't point you out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing that can knock you out of the championship now is a out of the 250s is winning a championship. I think after a certain number of years, they don't let you defend.
Okay.
Is maybe what it is. But either way, I think, yeah, like, Hayden Deegan has to be your favorite. I won't really entertain anyone else on that aside from Levi Kitchen. I think he has a speed indoors and out, and I think I think his position and the fact that he can run these courses and he's more than fit. I think he can make a serious case for this championship.
Yeah.
If he gets good starts.
The only thing I kind of think of when you look back over the motocross where, yes, Deegan was consistently the fastest guy, but he wasn't always the fastest guy week in and week out, where he would blow Moto 1 but win Moto 2 and still get the overall.
Yeah.
With the SMX only being a one moto format, if he blows that first moto, he's got to wait the next week to regroup. And
yeah,
it's a short series. So he's really, really going to have to be on his game because he only has three motos to do it.
Oh, and anything can happen. And anything will happen. This is going to be some serious dogfighting all the way to the finals in Vegas, which I'm so glad that the sport should wrap up in Vegas. Like it was that way for so many years, and it just belongs. Like the final coup de grace belongs in Vegas, I think, each year. And I think that's the best way to go about it. Switching things over to the 450 class, Chase Sexton will be the number one seed going into playoffs. He will hold a 3-point lead over Hunter Lawrence, who will have a 2-point lead over Jason Anderson, who will have a 2-point lead over Aaron Plessinger, who will have a 2-point lead over Justin Cooper. In sixth is Jet Lawrence. As we spoke in the 250 class, I would suspect that you see Jet running the number one with the Super Motocross color schemes on there. But I assume that then Chase would run number four with a red plate.
Possible. Yeah, I don't know.
I assume like if you're, I think points leader still in effect for that. Yeah.
Yes.
So then maybe the same for Hayden.
Right.
So, and we've seen lots of that, but I would suspect that Chase goes back to the number four as in the SMX side of things,
right?
Not championship. Yep. Champion.
I mean, he's odds on to win it. I mean, the big question is how strong is Jet's hand or thumb? You know, is it strong enough? I don't know I haven't really seen anything that he's riding at the moment. So it's all under wraps. So we'll have to.
Well, we're going to find out in just a few days. But let's play devil's advocate. Let's say he is 100%.
I mean, I think Chase has probably matured enough the last half of the year that I think he would be ready for him.
Really?
He definitely has the races under the belt and the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Jet's
going to be on the new bike, by the way.
True. So, again, I don't know how much they've had to do, how much work they've had to do, how different it is from their old bike, but definitely Hunter Lawrence made it look good. That's no problem.
Yeah, Hunter Lawrence would make my Kawasaki 125 look good.
Yeah. Oh, look, you know, I don't see Jet off the podium in the three races. Like, he'll be on the podium.
Yeah.
I mean, look, at even though he was hurt with his shoulder or any thumb to an extent, how good he was, right? Whether he can handle that intensity and that speed.
I think this playoff series is going to be a true changing of the guard in regards to, like, who is at the front. This is Jet Lawrence, Chase Sexton, Hunter Lawrence, top three in, if not all, at least two out of the three races that we watched throughout these playoffs. I think those three will separate themselves. I think Tomac will be there. I think he's a force to be reckoned with. And I have tons of respect for that guy. But I'm curious to see if those guys like, Cooper Webb, guys like Eli Tomac, can they match the pace of these younger guys? And same thing goes for, Jason Anderson. Jason Anderson's sitting third in points, coming into the series. But like, this is an extremely deep class. Like, you look at the points right now, you have, Cooper Webb sitting in 10th, and a ton of talent throughout the top 10. But then you go to the next page, Ken Roczen is in there at 13. He's going to want to upset the apple cart. He was podiuming races and getting his nose dirty, throughout the playoffs last year. Will he be able to replicate that? I don't know. Eli Tomac, he's a multi-time supercross and motocross champion, obviously coming off an injury, but seems to be coming back to form. Will he have something for both Chase Sexton and the Lawrence brothers? This is going to be like, this is basically like a full reset and a sprint all at once. It's going to be interesting to see how things shake out. What do you expect from Roczen and Tomac?
Is Roczen out? I thought he'd come out and said he wasn't feeling well and he didn't know whether he was going to ride.
I don't think he was. I don't think he said he wasn't going to ride, but I think he, I could be wrong. I think he's got some World Supercross rounds coming up that are pretty important.
All these guys are going to be
like, he is hosting VIP experience for all three rounds. Visit. Yeah. Okay. Oh, the Seven Double Deuce will be joining as well. So there you go.
I think, you know, we all know Roczen and Tomac are phenomenal racers, even at the age they're at right now, where I think it's going to be really, really good. Whether Tomac can get back to the box, I don't know. I don't know whether he's been out too long this year, but he's definitely going to give it 110%, which is always good to watch. And Roczen, and like you said, last year, he was on the podium, so I assume that he's probably going to want to do the same. So it's going to make for some very, very interesting racing this weekend in Charlotte, that's for sure.
Certainly. Have you seen the track map for Charlotte?
Briefly, I looked at it. I haven't studied at it too much. So it's going to be fast, which they are. So, and they're all man-made. No one's really got any hometown advantage.
No, this will be right up their alley. Mitchell Oldenburg, is he racing? I'm just looking at the LCQ lineup here. Dean Wilson is basically the front runner there. I think, like, obviously it's LCQs, anything can happen. But he clearly kind of like leads that pack. I think it's him and Justin Hill who will take the lion's share. But don't look now, but here comes Benny Bloss. Here comes Derek Kelly. Here comes, the 250. I think it was 250, 2 years ago, rookie of the year, Cullen Park. If Vince Freese is showing up, that's going to be, that's going to be fireworks. These LCQs might be much must watch television.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's some money on the line, right? So, they're going to be trying hard to win some of that purse. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I haven't seen or confirmed whether any of the MCR Honda guys are doing these races. I know they're doing the World Supercross. So, interesting to see what happens. But I'm looking forward to it, that's for sure.
So, right now, I need to know who you think is going to win the Super Motocross World Championship 450 Championship. I need to know right now. Is it going to be Chase Sexton? Is it going to be Hunter Lawrence? Or is Jet coming back and reclaiming his title?
Dude, that's... Oh, you got me on the spot.
That's the point of that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Chase.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, he's got the momentum. I think that it's not going to be easy by no means. It's going to be a dogfight. I think he can do it. If he wins Saturday night, I think he can do it.
Okay.
That's what I'll say.
Fair enough. And if he does not, like if he just shows up and gets a sixth?
It's going to be a long off season.
Especially around your work.
True, true.
So, all right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. I like it. What's your prediction? Currently working on? Let's dig into Andrew Hobson. You won your championship in the mountain bike series that you were in. You've been racing motorcycles. You rode your 500. You told me you're going to put your 500 together this last weekend. I bet you didn't.
I bet I did.
Let's get an update.
It's all back together. It's still a little bent. I need some new plastic where I got landed on. For me right now, it's all about getting ready for World Vet, the race that championship. So that's all the focus. Kind of backed off there a little bit on the bicycles. Yep.
Looking forward to it.
So it's all about World Vet. In the meantime, obviously, we've got a little coaching company going. I'm looking to got a couple of guys from Australia come over that we coach, looking to expand on that with fitness, as we talk, mindset, coaching, all that sort of stuff. So looking at expanding on that. And really just, man, I'm really enjoying riding motorcycles at the moment. I've raced a lot of bicycles this year, and, man, motorcycles are just good. That dirt down the back, you know, the roost, the grit, it's good. I love it.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to World Vets as well. And, I actually raced this last weekend. First time I got an actual drop in just over a year. Cause I don't really count first of all, there was not a gate at the Gypsy 500. But that was an endurance race, not a real motocross race. Although it was a challenge in its own right. I raced the Manitoba Old Timers. There's 15 guys in the plus 30 B class. And I'll be honest, my first moto was
a little rusty.
Timid. It was kind of all of the above as far as my execution. Wasn't feeling comfortable on the motorcycle. And then second moto, I went 12, 10, and then, there was a three moto format. And so I pulled my head out of my butt and pulled off a fifth. So, my goal for next year, and hopefully Justin Labie doesn't hear this because then he's going to train even harder to defend his title next year. I'm coming back for vengeance at Vet Fest next year. And
Vet Fest, I like that name.
Yeah, yeah, Vet Fest. In fact, we always talk about me flying down to California. I think I might have to bring an Australian up to Vet Fest and have
Let's
you race.
Do it.
Next Sold. Year.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Put it on the calendar.
All right, cool. Perfect. So, I'm coming back for vengeance next year and to claim the crown in the plus 30 B class. And then Landon Stevenson and all those guys will pressure me into going in the A class from that point forward. But I'll have earned it.
You've got it. You can step up.
All right.
Awesome.
Excellent, my friend. Well, for Andrew Hobson, thank you so much for making time for the podcast, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate the opportunity, and it's always a pleasure talking how we do.
Right on, guys. Thanks for listening. As always, take care.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times. This one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. the 30-second cards on its side. Hypnotized by the wheel spin, hear the crowd, everybody's whistling, line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins.